welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Well, if you have a worship guide, go ahead and pull out the notes that are inside of there. And I regret to inform you that you're going to have to write the full point by yourself. No blanks this time. So the old-fashioned way, you're going to have to take notes today. But also, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put a number of the verses up on the screen so you should be able to follow along. But we've been in this series called Dare to Love. We've been talking about responding to this challenge that really we see throughout God's Word to enter into His ways of love. And we're really challenging ourselves, saying, God, make us those kinds of people. Now, there's at the beginning of this series, I used this picture using two of the Greek words that Jesus uses for life in the Bible. This contrast between psuche life and zoe life. And psuche life, if you were to use kind of an analogy for it, the psuche life represents kind of the surface of the ocean. And zoe life is the depths of the ocean. It's all the life and all the depth that would be there. And so to be people that really enter into the greater ways of God's love means that we say, God, I'm not going to keep settling for the surface level of the ocean life. Lord, I want to dive in to who you are. I want to dive in and go into the deeper places with you. And so if we're going to be people that start to allow our lives to both be changed personally by God's love, but also if we're going to be able to change others' lives with his love, it means that we've got to, again, take some pretty courageous steps to say, God, do this in my life. And I've been so thankful and so excited to see a number of you really respond to that challenge personally. And you've even shared with me on a number of occasions things that God has been showing you or challenging you with, even some who have taken practical steps to respond to God's love in your own life. And so I just rejoice to see that. I'm excited to see the fruit that comes as a result. But when it comes to living out the ways of God's love. And today we're talking about that using this phrase that I called love divine. That I want to talk today about what it looks like to really tap into love divine, into God's love and how that looks in our lives. I was on a flight back from Seattle just the other day, and I was reminded of the last flight I took from Seattle, where a couple of years back, I had gotten on an airplane after a full week of ministry. I was tired. I'd been with people constantly, and I was ready to kind of sit down in my seat, put in my headphones, and just veg, you know, whether it's read a book, watch a movie, sleep. You know, I just wanted to kind of be in my own little world. Anyone ever been there before? And so I get down, I sit down in my seat, and even to my great delight, there was open seats next to me. So I'm going, this could be great. I mean, I can stretch out, you know, and just be able to just relax. And, with every person that's walking onto the plane, they're coming close to you, and you're going, please go by, please go by, you know. And they walk by, and you're like, thank you, Jesus, you know. And so now it looks like the plane is full, and I'm going to have this whole row to myself, and I'm just loving life. And then I see this guy kind of stumble onto the plane, and I can hear him from the front of the plane, and he's talking loud, and I'm going, oh, great, you know. And he's in the back of my mind, I just had this feeling, you know. And so sure enough, he's walking up, and at first he stops at one row, and he's looking, and they say, no, that's not your seat. That's your seat. And he walks over to my row, and he looks, and, oh, I'm right here. And so I'm like waving at him, and his eyes are all glassed over. I could tell he'd gotten a head start in the bar. And so, you know, he sits down in the seat next to me, and I'm thinking, okay, I just keep my headphones in and just kind of close my eyes, and maybe he'll think I'm asleep. And he doesn't catch the hint. He turns over within 10 seconds. Hi, my name is Glenn. What's your name? And so, hi, you know, I meet him. And he starts to talk, and, you know, he asks me, so what do you do? And, oh, okay, great. You know, well, I'm a pastor. And he says, a pastor? I've always wanted to be a pastor. I'm like, you'd make a great pastor, Glenn. You'd make a great pastor. So we're just talking, and he tells me he works for Xbox. He helps design video games, and he was, you know, coming from the headquarters there in Seattle. And so as we're starting to talk, and, you know, and I'm keep thinking, okay, maybe I'll turn away, and then, you know, we can just kind of relax. Well, he keeps talking and asking questions, and he starts to tell me his life story. He starts to tell me about how his wife had recently left him and how his kids won't talk to him. And how his brother had just died in the year before, and he was sharing all of these things with me, and before you know it, he's saying things like, "I don't even know if God could ever love me," and he's just talking about all these things, and finally it comes to this point where now we're about to land, and I finally look at him and I tell him, Glenn, I just want you to know that God loves you. That he has forgiven you for the things that you've done. And I don't even know all of them, but I know that God loves you. There's nothing you could do that can make him stop loving you. And by the end of the flight, we get up to stand up, and he says, can I give you a hug? And I say, sure. And he has tears in his eye, and he says, thank you for loving me. I've never experienced love like I've experienced from you today. And you know, I'm walking off the plane going, Lord, you're funny. You know, here I am, like, I don't even want to talk. I just kind of want to do my thing. And God opens up this opportunity to minister to this man and, you know, and to pray with him. And, you know, I think when it comes to being people who dare to love and really are able to live out this love divine that I want to talk about today, I think it's important that we recognize that, you know, for each and every one of us, there's a certain level of courage, there's a certain step that we've got to take that is going to require us moving outside of our comfort zone to a certain level. That there's going to be things within our lives that we're going to have to address. Sometimes it's going to be attitudes that we have. Sometimes it's going to be preconceived notions that we make about people. Sometimes it's going to be dealing with our own pain and failure from the past that even to say, man, do I even want to trust again? Do I even want to open my heart again? And so To enter into this divine love really is truly a daring journey. And yet I want to just say right from the top today that I believe that it's the best journey in the world that you could ever take. And it's so worth it. It changes everything as we start to learn these ways of divine love. And so, again, to do this today, I want to read from the book of Ruth. I want us to look at a story that I think is really a profound story that helps us to recognize what the environment needs to look like in order for this kind of love to grow in our lives. So before we start reading, I want to just stop and pray, if you'd join me. I want to pray and just open our hearts to what God would say to us today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. Lord, and we just make a decision today to Holy Spirit, welcome you into this place, to speak to every single one of us. Lord, we all would acknowledge that we have not arrived in this realm of love. And so come and open our eyes and help us to see what you want us to see, that we can step out into the ways of your love divine. We give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Ruth 1, verse 1, it says this. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now let's stop there for just a moment. I first of all want us to recognize that in these days that we read about here in the book of Ruth, life was not easy. These were challenging times that there was no king in Israel at this time. And so this was during the time of the judges. There's a book in the Bible where it outlines this whole season in the history of Israel, known as the time when the judges ruled. And so because there was no king, what was happening during these times, it happened when there were kings too, but during this time in particular, people were doing whatever they wanted to do. They were doing what they saw fit in their own eyes to do. They were living by their own moral standards. And so you find that really in the nation, in the history of Israel, this was one of the lowest points in their history. This was a time of division, civil unrest. There's war. There is national disgrace. It was really a devastating season in the history of Israel. And so it's interesting that in the midst of a beautiful story like we see here in the book of Ruth, that this story that we will read about here in the book of Ruth happens during really a horrific time in the history of Israel, which I think should be encouraging for us today. That wherever you are right now, whatever's going on in your life, wherever you are in your journey, I think that should be hopeful for us. That's good news. To remember that whatever you might be facing right now, recognize that God is able to do something beautiful, something redemptive, even during the most difficult of times, even during the greatest challenges that you may be facing. God is in the work of redemption. He's in the work of making all things new. And so here in the book of Ruth, we see, again, these times that are challenging. There's the social environment that's just wrecked. And then add on to that the reality of famine that they're facing. There's no food in the land, which is a little ironic, being that it was affecting the land of Bethlehem, where this family was that we read about today. And the word Bethlehem, house of bread. So the place that is supposedly known for its plentiful bread has very little at this time. And we see, again, just this, during this famine, a parallel to, I think, our own lives. That there are these seasons that we'll come into where we'll face challenges, we'll face trials, we'll even face temptation. And how we respond in these times is huge. I remember hearing the story of a mother who had told her son not to go swimming one day in particular. And however, he came back into the house during the afternoon, and she noticed that his hair was all wet, and he was wearing his bathing suit, and it was all wet. And she said, "Johnny, I told you not to go swimming." And he said, "I couldn't help it, Mom." And she said, "What?" She said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, the water looks so good. I just couldn't help it." And she said, "Well, if you couldn't help it, then why did you take your bathing suit with you?" He said, "Well, I did it just in case I was tempted to go swimming." And, I think when it comes to facing, we all are going to face these times, these seasons, again, whether it's temptation, even sometimes when we're facing challenges, we're going to be tempted in our hearts to turn from God or to do things in our own ways. And it's so important during those times to stay connected to God's love. That whatever you're facing, whatever challenge it is, to stay connected to God's love. And so here's the thing. When we see this story here in the book of Ruth, I see this man and his wife who left Bethlehem for Moab. And I at a certain level believe that he made a bit of a mistake. Because what I see happening here as we read this chapter is that as they began to face famine, as they began to face the circumstances around them, that they got reactive. That they began to kind of run away from their problems in a sense, and they began to try and find escape and began to turn to their own wisdom for solution. And so as we continue on here, we learn more about this man and his family in verse 2. It says, this man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites and from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So you have Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons and their sons' wives, and they leave home. They leave Bethlehem Because at a certain level, they decided to take matters into their own hands, to try and go and run and figure out ways to meet their own needs. And I believe that behind that, what happened is somewhere along the way, they lost sight of the love of God. That as they began to run to this foreign land, that at a certain level, they had lost sight of the love of God. And they, as a result, tried to build their own security. And they began to make decisions not based on faith, but decisions based on fear. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he says, this is really important. If you're going to be someone who follows God, if you're going to live a life that honors God, glorifies him, and if you're going to stay connected to his purposes, he says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. In fact, can we put that verse on the screen? I want us to read these words out loud together. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's read that again. Ready? Go. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So Paul is telling us living by faith. And you see it throughout the scriptures. The Bible tells us it's impossible to please God without faith. If we're going to be people that stay connected to divine love, and if we're going to be people that have that love divine growing in our lives as well, the first thing that we've got to understand, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The first thing we've got to understand is that love divine grows in the environment of faith. Love divine grows in the environment of faith. See, what happened with Elimelech and his family here, their ability to see had become a little jaded. That Elimelech and his sons, they weren't able to step outside of their problems in order to see the promise of God. See, the environment of faith begins with this ability to step outside of our problems and then begin to look to the promise of God. So rather than letting our problems dictate our steps and our problems dictate our decision makings, that when we face those problems, that we step outside of them to say, God, I want to look to you. What do you have to say about this? What does your word say? What promise would you give me to stand on? And so these guys, they made these decisions and lost sight of the promise of God. And therefore, they took control. They moved to the enemy land of Moab, hoping to escape death, hoping to find food and resource. But what's interesting is that step cost them. And you see, when it comes to living our lives in the light of God and his love, when it comes to facing the challenges that we face, it's so vital that we start by recognizing this, that all that we have, whatever you have, whether it's your possessions, your family, your time, your job, all that you have comes from him. And so when you begin to recognize that all you have comes from him, when you recognize that he is the source of it all, then you recognize that he's the one that's going to help sustain those things. And so rather than saying, you know what, I'm going to try and make this last and work on my own, that when we face problems in whatever it is, your business, your job, your finances, your marriage, that you say, God, help me. I turn to you. I look to you. Give me wisdom in this. And so when we start to trust God and surrender to him and walk in obedience to him, it builds this environment of faith that allows love to grow. See, again, walking in faith is what makes that environment of love possible. I remember a number of years ago, Stacy and I were in our first church as senior pastors. We were young. We had a young family. Our kids were just all little things. Now they're all getting grown up. But I remember we had this season. We were just making ends meet. You know, God was providing, but, you know, it was, all right, Lord, we're trusting you to meet this need and, you know, this month and the next month. And I remember one week we had this kind of bad week. There were a couple of things that happened, but it was all capped off with our car going bye-bye. I mean, it like... the engine blew up, and it was one of those where the mechanic said, okay, it's time to hold a funeral for this. I can't even fix it this time. I mean, it's too far gone. And so I remember we were just going, oh, great. I mean, we had a growing church, a growing family. We had a lot of commitments. And so we still had one car, but our life was such that we needed two cars to fulfill all the commitments and obligations that we had. And so we were going, okay, Lord, what's going to happen? We're struggling here on money and we don't have much. And we felt like the Lord just said, wait and trust me. And so we said, okay, we'll wait and we'll trust you. And I got to tell you, Stacy and I both made this commitment to say, we're going to pray every day and just say, God, we entrust this to your hands. We're not going to be, you know, looking around, you know, running around, seeing how we can make it happen on our own. By the way, I wasn't getting up on a Sunday in my sermon saying, our car died, wink, 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 you know, we need a help here, wink, wink. No, we just said, God, we're going to entrust this to you. Our confidence is in you. And about a week later, there was this couple who called and said, hey, can we meet with you guys? And we said, sure. We had no idea what they were calling about, but we said, come on over. So they came over to our house, and they walked up to our door, and the husband pulled something out of his pocket, and he put these keys in our hands and said, God told us to give you this car. And tears just came to our eyes. We just hugged them and thanked them so much, and we told our kids the story, you know, this is our God car. It was a Mitsubishi Montero, but we called it the Mantero because it was a manly car. And so me and the boys would drive around in our Mantero, and we felt pretty cool. But here's the cool thing about it all is that as we saw God's provision, we just rejoiced in that. And a few months later, someone else in our life, a need arose, and God spoke to Stacy and I and said, I want you to bless them. Anonymously, you don't even need to tell them who it is. And we anonymously blessed someone in our life at the time, and then a few months after that, God told us to give a car to someone. About a year and a half later, and so we got to give a car to someone and bless them, and each time it was like we just sensed our capacity to love growing more and more. And here's what I want us to recognize is that I believe it all stemmed from this decision to walk in faith in that situation that we encountered. And see, when we make that decision to walk in faith, whatever it may be, and then we get to experience God's divine love showing up, not only do we get to experience the blessing of that, but then it gives us an opportunity, it stirs something in us to then be a conduit of that blessing for others. Because once you've been changed by love, it's really hard to go back. I mean, once you've experienced and you've tasted and seen the fullness of God's love, you're ruined for life. And all you want to do is not just experience it more yourself, but you want others to experience it. And so it's the environment of faith that helps love divine to grow. As we continue here in Ruth chapter 1, though, in verse 6, I want us to see one more thing about this environment of faith here with this story. It says that when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. And with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. So what I want us to recognize here is here Naomi and her daughters-in-law, they had been with her husband and with their husbands. They had made this move that maybe initially was not based in faith. But now, as they're in this desperate place, they're going, what now? They hear about how God had been providing. That's what the Bible says. They heard about how God had been providing for these people. And she said, let's go. Let's go there. Let's go back to the land of God's people. Let's go back in faith, trusting that he will provide for us as well. And what I want you to recognize is this. Even if you've made decisions that weren't filled with faith in the past, it's not too late to start making decisions of faith for today and for tomorrow. That you can start to build that environment of faith right here, right now. But it makes the decision to say, I'm going to move away from where I've been, and I'm going to start walking in a new way. of faith. I'm going to move towards God. I'm going to move towards what he's doing. And as you do, again, I look forward. I love hearing stories of people that step out in faith, that make that decision to start tithing, and they get to see God show up and provide. I love to hear stories of faith when someone steps out and starts to serve in a way that's beyond their comfort zone, and they see God use them in ways they never thought possible. I love to hear the stories of people that step out in faith and the ways that God enlarges their capacity to love. And so, environment of faith, but here's the second thing about love divine. Not only does it do that, but love divine considers others first as well. We continue this story, and they're now headed back to the land of Judah. And they get up that way, and Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, to Ruth and to Orpah, she says, you know what? Why don't you guys go back to your own homes, to your families? And she said, I pray that God will bless you. You know, you've been a blessing to me. Thank you so much. She says, I hope you find new husbands. You know, maybe you should try eHarmony. I heard it works well. You know, you know, and they cry. They say, no, we want to go back with you. And so verse 11, then we pick it up, and it says, Naomi then says to them, well, no, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. You know, what she's saying is eHarmony won't work for me. But she says, no, even if there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. And so, I mean, you can pick up, I mean, just this desperate state that Naomi is in, and yet in this place she's saying, you know what? I don't care about me. I care about you. And I want you, I don't want you to face the devastation of what could happen. Because see, in this culture, what's going on here is this, that Naomi, in this culture, widows had a very difficult plight. If you were a widow, and you see this back into the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament, that widows were very vulnerable. That's why God, throughout the Scriptures, call us to take care of the widows and the orphans, to take care of those who are in vulnerable place. And so in those days in particular, I mean, financially and in every way, they were very vulnerable, especially during a time of famine. And so normally, what would happen is if a woman's husband died, then she would rely on her sons to take care of her. But in Naomi's situation, not only did her husband die, but then her sons died as well. And so she recognizes that this is a very dangerous place. And here's what I love. By the way, this is just a little bit of a side note about widows in the Bible. Next time you're reading the Bible and you see a story about a widow, read. Because oftentimes what you see in the Old Testament, you see in the New Testament. In fact, there's a couple of occasions where God heals the son of a widow. And that's so, you know, sometimes you read it and go, oh, that's cool, he did a healing. No, you don't realize how significant that was. He wasn't just restoring a woman's son to her. He was restoring a woman's future to her. Because without a son, she had no one to take care of her. Because in that culture, women couldn't just go out and get a job at Applebee's serving food. Like, they were very helpless in that culture. They didn't have the same ability to work in this places of esteem that we have in our culture. And so in the story of Naomi, here again, she's looking at her daughters-in-law now saying, just go and find husbands so you can at least be taken care of. And again, what she's really doing in that moment as well, she's cutting off her last tie of hope. Because her daughters-in-law really our hope. Now, we'll go on to read in this story next week about how God uses one of her daughters-in-law to redeem and restore Naomi and to bring hope in so many ways. But in these moments, what she's modeling is this decision to say, I'm dying to myself. I'm emptying myself. I'm not holding on to any selfish motive here. I just want you to be cared for. And you see, love that accomplishes God's purposes in this world, it does that. love that is able to bring God's kingdom here on earth, it empties itself of selfishness. In fact, you read about that in Philippians 2:3, where it says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. People who are able to live in that place of divine love, they empty themselves of the human nature. It's so natural sometimes, isn't it? Right? It's so natural for us to just kind of look out for ourselves first. I just returned from Seattle. We were at a pastor's convention in Seattle, Washington, where we connected with, we're connected to a family of churches called Foursquare that has churches all around the world and all around our nation. And so there are about 4,000 of us there in Seattle, Washington. And I remember a number of years ago when Stacy and I were first earlier on in ministry, and we were at one of these conventions, and you know, we knew some people that we had gone to college with and stuff, but for some reason at this one in particular, a lot of our friends weren't there. And we were kind of feeling a little displaced because, you know, you go to meetings and everything, but then you hang out and go to dinner with people in between. And like a lot of our friends weren't there. And there was a meal or two in particular where no one had asked us to go to lunch. And we were feeling a little bit like, you know, offended by that. Like, look at all these jerk people. No one asked us to go to lunch, you know? I mean, do they know how cool we are? And I remember then Stacy and I, we were talking about it, you know, like, oh man, I wish we had someone to go to lunch with. And it was like we both looked at each other and said, and we looked over across the way and saw this couple sitting all by themselves. They were younger. I think, you know, we knew just a little bit about them, that they were brand new to ministry. And we said, you know, what if we just went and reached out to them? We don't know them, but what if we invited them to lunch? And so we did, and it was, we got to encourage them, and we got to have fun and be encouraged ourselves. And that couple came back to us later and said, thank you so much. We were feeling so out of place, so lonely, and even wondering whether we should stay in ministry, and you guys really encouraged us. And so we've made it a point at pretty much every conference that we go to at least one point find someone like that. And in fact, this last week, we had had a full day. I had been up at 6 o'clock, 6:30 for meetings, and I've been in constant meetings all the way through about 3:30, almost 4. And I was going to go back to my room before we had to be back for another set of meetings all the way till 10 that night. And I was going to go just kind of get a little me time, you know, and get a little recharge. And as I was walking down the street, I was trying to, like, you know, just get past so I didn't get stopped by anyone so I could just go get my me time in. I'm sure no one else is ever like that, but and I see this couple, and we made eye contact, and so I said, hey, you guys want to go get coffee? They said, that would be great. And same thing, they were really going through a difficult season. I got to pray with them and encourage them, and you know, I look at, you know, even as I look back at some of the conferences I've got to be a part of, some of my most memorable times now are not the times when I got to hang out with big shots. And I've got to hang out with some big shots. But some of my most memorable times are hanging out with these people that no one would ever know. And yet getting to build relationship and be used by God in that way. And what I want us to recognize here again is that love divine considers others first. If we're going to be people that are able to see God's love flow in and through our lives, we've got to let go of some of those selfish things that we let cloud our hearts and our minds. We've got to do it in our relationships at home, in our relationships at work, in our relationships at school. If we're going to be people of love divine, we've got to consider others first. And then finally, it's important that we recognize that love divine is also deeply committed. If people who dare to love in these ways, they discover this lifestyle of commitment that is not natural to most people. So this is what it looks like in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. It says that they all wept aloud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but it says Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. This woman's committed, by the way, right? When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Again, people of love divine, not only do they consider others first, but they also enter into this level of commitment that is deep, this level of commitment that is strong. Last week, because I was on the West Coast, I had the opportunity to go be at my home church for the first time on a Sunday morning in almost 14 years. And I had the opportunity to see these people that I hadn't seen in some cases for a very long time. And of course, you know, if I was born into this church, in Beaverton, Oregon, by the way, is where it is. And I'm seeing people there that are looking at me going, "I changed your diapers in the nursery." And, you know, and every time I see them, they say it, "I changed your diapers. And thank you very much for reminding me," you know. But these people that poured into my life as Sunday school teachers, people who prayed for me, people who encouraged me when I was in high school, they shared with me scripture verses. They were my youth group leaders. I got to spend time with one of the guys who I worked with as a janitor, and he's still cleaning toilets there to this day. He's been doing it for like 25 years. And I see these people, and what I see all around that place is commitment. I just see this level of commitment that's profound. And, you know, I see it's a church that when I was born there, when my parents started going there, there's about 50 people. By the time I graduated from high school, it was 5,000 people. And it's still over 5,000 people to this day. And I've had people ask me, you know, how do you think that church grew so strong? What made it special? I mean, they didn't have any special programs, or even the pastor wasn't that great of a preacher. But can I tell you what I believe made it grow so strong? Commitment. Commitment. There was a people that had this level of commitment that really was about, it wasn't a self-absorbed commitment. It was a commitment that said, how can I invest in the next generation? How can we invest in our community? How can we make a difference in this world together? And there was this level of commitment that was bigger than any one person. And I talked to my pastor when I was there as the youth pastor. He's since died a number of years ago, but I got to talk with him one day, and I said, "Pastor, people always ask, like, you know, what was the secret, you know, of growth here?" And, you know, and I said, "What's your answer? What do you think about that?" And he said, "You know, I can tell you one thing. I know it's not about me." He said, "In fact, one day I was about ready to quit the ministry. I was about ready to leave the church and just be done." And he said, "And the Lord spoke to me really clearly and said, I'm going to do something great here. I can do it with you, or I can do it without you. But are you committed?" And you think for each and every one of us in our lives, the Lord would say the same thing to each of us. I want to do great things. I want to release a great portion of love in your life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we can make it about places, you know, and we can make it about these other things. I see this scene where Ruth and her other sister-in-law, Orpah, you see, Orpah kissed Naomi, right? It says that she kissed her, which is an affectionate sign. It's good. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. She kissed her mother-in-law, but then she left. But Ruth, it says, she didn't merely kiss her. She clung to her. She clung to her, and she said, I'm standing with you. And you see, people who have this level of commitment that releases this love divine, they begin to recognize that, God, my life is not about me. It's about you and what you want to do through me. And I simply just want to be available. In these moments, I don't condemn Orpah. I don't know what God's plan was for her life. But I do know that Ruth, because she recognized, she saw that God has placed me in Naomi's life for a reason, and I don't want to miss that. And it was that decision of commitment that allowed this amazing love, and we'll look at it even more next week, but it allowed this amazing love to grow in her life. You come to the end of this story, and it says that they get there to Bethlehem, and they got there just in time for the barley harvest that it was beginning. And what I want us to recognize is that harvest in those days represented new beginnings. It was a new season. And today, I want to ask you to go ahead and set your Bibles aside and your notes. Today, I want you to think about your own life. I want you to think about what God is doing as you work to expand and grow love in your life. I want you to think about what the new beginning might look like for you. Are there areas where God would be pointing out in your life to say, I want you to build an environment of faith by trusting me in this area? Are there places where God would say, I want you to empty yourself of certain things? Maybe there are places where God would say, it's important for you to be committed right now. But I want you to, as we each take opportunity right now to look at our own lives, I want to ask you to close your eyes with me. And I want to give opportunity for us to just do a little business with God. Again, maybe you're here today and you've been struggling. You'd recognize, God, I've been far from you. And I want to give an opportunity for you here in just a moment to respond to him and to respond to his love. Maybe it would be one that would say, God, I've been trying to do things in my own past. I've been trying my own way. I've been trying to make up my own path and trying to figure out things in my own wisdom. And today, as you've been listening, something's been stirring in your heart. Something's been stirring within you to the place that you're saying, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to follow you in such a way that I can grow in these greater ways of love, that I can fulfill the calling and the plan you have for my life. So I want to give opportunity. If you just close your eyes with me, bow your heads right now, I want to just make it a safe place for anyone that needs to do some business with God, that needs to respond to him. If you're here today and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to make that decision to run to God, to follow him, to return to him, to have that fresh start in my journey, so that I can be the person he's called me to be. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, would you lift up your hand right now? I just want to pray for you here in a minute. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyone else? Anyone else at all? 5. Yeah. Go ahead and put your hands down. I want to just lead you in a simple prayer, and I want to invite all of us to pray this prayer out loud together with those that are making that decision. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want us to, with our great new life voice, would you just repeat this simple prayer after me? Jesus, thank you for your love, that you have pursued me and found me and welcomed me into relationship. I say yes to you. I choose today to follow you and walk in your ways from this day forward. Enlarge my capacity to love people the way that you love. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Can we just give God praise and say amen? Amen. Hallelujah, God. You're good.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.